brethren. Thank God for that beautiful praise dance. Just thank God as a whole for him using the little people. I really do thank God for that, seeing their emotions and giving it all to God. So thank God for that. Our scripture reading for today comes from Luke, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 11. And it reads as follows. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man should not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him to stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." May God add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen. Good morning. The title of my sermon is Christ Has Defeated the Deceiver. And we all know who the deceiver is, right? Satan the devil. If you think about it, we are sitting here today, and without the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made, we wouldn't be here. We would not be here. I go back to the time when Jesus, before he started his ministry, and he went to John. And he wanted John to baptize him. And John was thinking, Christ, God, is coming to me to be baptized. You know, in other words, you think it's the other way around. If anything, he should be baptizing me, thinking about what John would say. But Christ stated that all righteousness had to be fulfilled. And that is what he did. John baptized him. And then the Holy Spirit, you remember when the heavens were open and you saw the dove that came and laid on his shoulder. And following that particular thing, what happened? At that point, the Holy Spirit leads him. And I know in the scripture it says, especially in King James, it says to the desert. But NIV says, the King James states in the wilderness, but NIV says the desert. So same, you know. But Jesus Christ, he was truly obedient. Truly obedient. And he went to the desert. He knew what he had to face. Let's think, 40 days. 40 days in the desert with the animals, wild animals, it says, rocks and stones, and he had to be there without any food for 40 days. Think about how you would feel if you went 4 days without food, right? But before he began his ministry, he had to go through I would say test. I would just use the word test, because he had to defeat the devil. He had to defeat the devil. So he was up to the task. In Luke 4, 1 through 13, and it says, "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil." Now, one scripture says, I mean, you can read, it says, probably happened, maybe like the last day. And then you read another scripture, it says, it gives you during the 40 days. So I'm thinking it was probably during those 40 days, you know. Anyway, during that time, he ate nothing. And at the end of them, he was, of course, very hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." That was one of the temptations that he used. Because you think about it, I mean, if you are starving, very hungry, you know, it's like doing just about anything to get some food. Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word of God." The devil led him up to a high place. He's still trying to tempt him. Because the thing that the Satan did, he had three things. It's like it said, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And these are the three things that he used against Jesus. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word of God." Then that didn't work, so what? The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all the authority and splendor." And if you think about it, you know, I mean, you got all this beautiful, you know, maybe palaces, and you are the one who will be in charge. So that was one of his temptations to Jesus Christ. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all the authority and the splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." But we know how Satan is. You think he was telling the truth?
No.
They say he's the father of liars, so you know he wasn't telling the truth. "So if you worship me, it will be all yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. And he's still saying, if, he's using this, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God. So here we go with another if. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And I think about a situation we can find ourselves in. You know, maybe there's a problem, something stupid, you know, that maybe Satan is trying to get you to do. And he said, oh, maybe I can do this. God take care of me. But as you see, Jesus answered, it says, do not put the Lord your God to a test. When the devil had finished all this temptation, he left him until an opportune time. And I was thinking the three things that Satan used against Christ. And that was the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And he just did all three. But think about this. Each one, if you read the scriptures, one was all of them start with bread. One would say the temple, and the other one said the kingdom, and then another scripture said the kingdom and the pinnacle. You know, not in exact order is what I'm trying to say. But you know, one thing that it did say, every single scripture started with bread, because you want to eat. And he knows that this is one thing. I mean, what good is the kingdom and all the other things, and you feel like I'm starving to death. So he knew. He started with bread on each one. So they were together on that particular one. And that's the way we are. If you fast, you can't. Oh, you're anxious to eat. So you think about Christ. But the other part, think about Christ. He went through this for 40 days. And God sent him to earth. He had a ministry. And at that point, if you see after all of this had occurred, that it was later on that he actually started, you know, getting the disciples here, Peter and his brothers and so on. So, but he had to do this. And not only was he willing to go through this test that he had to, what did he do? He defeated the deceiver, right? I mean, Satan didn't get the best of this. He put down the deceiver. And so what Satan said to Jesus, you know, he was leaving, but this is not the end. Because throughout the time Jesus was on the earth, it wasn't like Satan went someplace in the corner. He never had to deal with him anymore. This is not true. He was there. And remember when we all, the ones who saw it, the Passion of the Christ. And in the Passion of the Christ, one of the things was that Satan, he was busy, busy. And even when they got this big mob of people trying to put him to death, Jesus to death. And I don't know before the movie if we have actually thought about Christ being in that group. But Satan in that group. Satan was in that group with those people. He was. And a lot of times you see people marching today. You think he ain't around stirring things up? Yeah. But anyway, he was there. He was there in that group. And he was, you know, like you, kind of stoking the people up and encouraged people to be negative and causing people, look, you crowd, he wanted. Well, they did too, both of them wanted. The people and Jesus and Satan wanted him to die. And that's what he was doing. When it's the Passion of Christ, we see Satan is lurking around in the mob, you know, not just kind of being quiet. And he was crying out, and he was encouraging the people to cry out. We want him dead, you know. And the people, of course, the way we are, you know, they follow the lead, you know, say they want the Christ put to death. And I think about Genesis 3, 1 through 7. I'm going to read that. And this has to do with Adam and Eve. And God had been with them. He made them, put them in the garden. And they were living a good life. They didn't have any complaints. They shouldn't have. But Beelzebub, the deceiver, he was there. And the deceiver went to Eve. I guess I'm thinking that maybe she appeared to be the weakest person, and her husband just fell in line. I mean, just it wasn't like a that he had to. She had to try to persuade him. You know, take a bite, take a bite. All she had to do, eat, pass it to him, and he did the same thing. You know, and it says that Adam was not deceived, but Eve was the one who was deceived. Genesis 3, 1 through 7. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" Did he say that? The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." Now think about this. All of the trees, it was like three or four trees. There's a lot of trees. Fruit on all of the trees, and they could eat on any tree, from any tree they wanted, except one. They even had the tree of life that was there. Was there in the middle of the garden. That's the thing. They could have eaten off of that and be alive, right? But they didn't do that. What they did is listen to Satan. And in listening to Satan, you know that you're always going to go the wrong way. It's just doing God's will is going to get you going in the right direction, you know. So what they did, listen to Satan. And it says here, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" Did he really say that? The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. And you must, of the tree of good and bad, and you must not touch it or you will die." So at this point, Satan says, and you know how Satan is really to do everything to influence us, to do what's wrong, to do what is contrary to God's will. And he said, "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman. "But God knows that when you eat of that tree, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." So boy, that appealed to them. Think, we'd be like God. We know good and we'll know evil. So they listened to Satan. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some, ate it, passed it to her husband who was right there with her, and he ate it. He didn't put up any fuss. He just did what she said. He ate it, okay. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made covering for themselves. Before, and then what did they do? After that, what happened? They were hiding out, hiding from God. The one that had come, he talks to them, have a relationship with them, and now they're hiding from him because they have done wrong, and now they see, yeah, we us good and bad. They had that understanding at this point. So when God came and started talking, and they were hiding, and the other party before then, what were they doing? Trying to get fig leaves to sew together. Because all of a sudden, they realized they were naked. Didn't have any clothes on. So they brought really sin on themselves. Sin on themselves. And here in the Garden of Eden, what happened? After being instructed by God not to eat fruit of the tree of God, good and evil, what did they do, Adam and Eve? They listened to Satan instead of God. Many times today, we do the same thing, right? Listen to Satan rather than God. Maybe God is, you know, telling you, well, you know you should do so and so. And we know whatever God tells us to do is the right thing, not the wrong thing, but he's always right, always. And you can go, as I say, to the bank on that. anyway, I'm thinking about a picture. Satan sitting on our shoulder, you know, whatever we're doing, you know, well, and getting a picture of him. Yeah, I know God told you to do so and so. And then you start thinking, you know you shouldn't do it. But it depends on which direction you go in. Go in one direction, you may say, well, I know that Satan is wrong, and I know God is always right. And we know he is always right. But sometimes we just let him get the best of us. And we succumb to whatever he's trying to put in our minds, whatever he is trying to get us to do. Now, he was defeated. Jesus defeated Satan. But he's still around. We know that he's the God of this world, you know. So he's still around. But the thing about it, we need to think about the love that God had for each of us. Look at what he did. He not only going through near starvation, that's what I call it, but the thing about it, he had to go through an agonizing death for each of us. And not just us in this room, but for people, all people, past, present, future, you know. And it was an agonizing death. You think about the time he was in the garden and he was praying, had some of the disciples. And he went and prayed the first time for an hour. He prayed the second time for an hour. And we know he went back and prayed the third time, an hour. And he was in agony, you know. He knew when he came to earth the reason why he was here. But during that time, he started thinking, Father, if you can just, oh, remove this cup. Just remove this cup. But God didn't do it. So now we all sitting here from the benefit of what Christ did, and that's to die for each of us, for all of us, you know. And we have this man, his name is C.T. Studd. And he stated, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice is too great for me to give for him, you know. And that's true. It's absolutely true. But I realize if you get to the place where you are surrendering totally to God, and that can be scary for some people. It can be. Because when you said surrender, that means you totally give your life over to God. It means that whatever God said, do, that's what you are to do. But the scary part, I think, for people is, I don't mind maybe giving my life over to God, to Jesus. But then you start thinking, he may have me doing something I don't want to do, right? You don't want to do because you get kind of, it's kind of scary. It's really scary. Well, what will he ask me to do? If you could tell him what you want to do, that may be okay, you know, because you're doing what you want to do, not what God is telling you to do. But as it says, when God, when you have something to do, you surrender yourself totally to God, that he's going to help you through, enable you to do whatever it is. There is nothing, no assignment he's going to give you that you cannot do if you have faith, if you are obedient, if you have a love relationship with God. So we don't have to worry about that. We don't. But we should really get to that place, because I can say it is scary when you come to that and say, because you don't want to go to God and say, you know, I'm going to do whatever. You know, maybe you say you're going to stop doing something. And you think, wow, this is not one time. It may be the rest of your life. Because we're not supposed to be looking back, right? We're supposed to be looking forward in our future, you know. And it can be scary, but it can be totally rewarding as well. Don't you think so? In Ephesians 6, 11, it says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, who is steadily here, hoping and trying to make us fall. But we do know some of his strategies, and we do know that we need to resist him, and we can think back how Jesus really loved us. How much he loves us. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Love us. We don't have to have any doubt about that. The only other part, we have to be sure we love him too as well. Yeah. In 1 John 2, 15 and, I'm sorry. 1 John 2nd chapter 15 and 16th verse. And in the 15th verse, it said, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because you can't, you know, you read the scripture, you read the Bible, you cannot serve two masters. So we know we have to follow Jesus Christ. For verse 16, for everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does comes not from the Father, but from the world. And we realize that what people have, you know, material things, that doesn't make them happy. I don't know, maybe you know some happy folks that got all the money in the world, the biggest house, the biggest car, all the clothes, fame, beauty, handsome and all, and you think they're happy. But don't believe that. Do not believe that. They're not. And we see so many examples of those people committing suicide, right? And you think if they have everything and they're so happy, why are they killing themselves? But one of the things they don't have, the most important thing in their life that they do not have God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit. It's missing. But they don't know what they're looking for. They know, you know, you just have something is missing. But you don't know exactly what it is. But it is God in their life. So material things, don't even worry about that. Don't put that high on your list or anything, really, really. You don't have to have it. And probably before it's over, you don't need it. And I was thinking about what came to my mind is a person who wins the lottery and they have this millions and millions and millions of dollars. And you would think that's happiness. Every bill you ever thought you had, you could pay, you know. And you have all this, but you can quit your job if you want to. But the thing about it, it doesn't make them happy. If you have seen or heard the statistics of people who won, most of them lose the money anyway. You know, even large sums of money, they lose it. The other thing, you got all of your relatives, your friends, everybody, people you haven't even heard their names before who want something, you know. And it's really misery. It's just a miserable time. So it's not a good time. I know we want to win some money, but I tell you, you got a lot of problems with that. The thing we need is God. I tell you, that's who we need to be following instead of that. And one of the things, you think of the world, the things that's in the world, the things that we just, they do look glamorous, you know, look really glamorous. But those are the things that pull us away from God. They pull us away from God, you know? And if you look at your children. I mean, I'm not talking about your children, but children, period. All of the problems that they have. And I just heard a really bad one today in coming to church. And I think Mr. Rahm might have mentioned something. And that was about the person who had taken the baby. Maybe you all heard this, and scalded the baby in hot water. And the babies, and then they found that they had teeth marks all over the body, you know. And so that tells you, when you listen to Satan, the problems you're going to have, you are going to have problems if you listen to Satan. Now that person, that child, that baby, had to have been abused. Now, at this point, to put him in the water, he ended up having to go to the hospital. He did not die. But the thing about it, the person's mind said, and you know God did not put that in his mind. He wouldn't put anything like that in his mind. You know, he loves all the people. He loves them. And it's just so many things that's going on that Satan is the cause of. But let me tell you this, I cannot put everything on Satan. I really can't put everything on Satan, because we somebody said they tried. But at any rate, the thing about it is that we have our part, and we play a big part in this. But it's so simple to say, Satan made me do it. Wouldn't have done it, wouldn't have been Satan. He made me do it, which is not really. Could be untrue on one hand, and then the other hand, we have our part in this. Because, as I said before, the world draws the heart away from God. And it does. And the question that I have is, what will you do to make sure you are in God's kingdom? Have you thought about that? The part that you play to make sure you are in God's kingdom. And we have. We can't take it for granted that we, you know, well, you can do whatever. You know, we'll see you on the other side of whatever the case is. We have something to do. And if we want to be in God's kingdom, we're going to have to do something. That's Jesus Christ. And we need to make a commitment that we're going to follow Christ, that we're going to do what it is that he wants us to do. And to bear in mind that he came to earth to save us. He came to earth to save us. And it really just shows how much love that he has for each of us. He does a lot of love for each one of us. He really does. And all the times he rescues us, opens doors for us. Opens a lot of doors for us. He rescues us from a lot of things we would actually have trouble with. But he intervenes on our behalf because he loves us. He wants to see each one of us in his kingdom. And he wants us to live a good life. You want to be happy. Right?
Amen.
Yeah, we want to be happy. And he wants to be happy as well. So what we have to do, and we can just keep this in mind, we have to learn to follow Jesus Christ. To follow him. And if we follow him and follow his examples he has for us, his commands, we don't have to worry about, I really want to be in God's kingdom. I don't know if I'm going to be there. You know, we don't have to worry about that because we are assured that we are obedient to God and that we do his will, that we will be in his kingdom. And one thing you need to keep in mind is that the enemy, who is Satan, the deceiver, has been, been defeated. Let's keep that in mind. But don't think he has left the earth, because he's still here doing everything, you know. But he still has been defeated by Jesus Christ. And that's a wonderful thing, a wonderful thought to think. He's not here anymore. I mean, Jesus, what I'm trying to say, because I'm saying it wrong, I think, but that Satan is still here trying to make anyone he can fall. And don't fall for what he says.
Amen.
Just follow Christ, God, the Holy Spirit. Okay. Let's pray. Heavenly Father and merciful God who are in heaven. Father, we just thank you for your blessings. We thank you, Almighty God, for the love that you have for all of us. For you wanting the very best for us. And you know that if we follow your commands, that we will have the best. That we will be able to live happy lives. That we will be able, Father, to just stand before Jesus Christ one day and know and hear him say, well done. And Almighty God, I just pray and really thank you for the great sacrifice Jesus Christ made. The fact that he did defeat Satan, that he went without food for 40 days, that he died on the cross, having never committed a crime, never sinned, but he loved us so much that he was willing to die for each one of us. And I thank you for that. And I just pray that you will just help us to keep this in mind. All that Christ did for us, all that he went through for us, and we be willing to sacrifice for God as well. And Almighty God, I ask this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.